I am certain that I am not the only one who is marveling at the fact that we are already more than halfway through November. While recognizing that Thanksgiving comes early this year, still it's hard for me to believe that we are almost there. And yet I'm always glad when Thanksgiving arrives, because we need some intentional pauses to stop and reflect on our gratitude, especially in a world that seems ever more polarized, especially when we have so many messages of fear and division coming at us, especially at times of personal loss, when we have said goodbye to so many friends and loved ones for this community, two more in just the last 9 days. While we know that we have much to be thankful for, sometimes the other stuff overwhelms us. And so we need moments like this to stop and simply be reminded to sit in our gratitude. And so I'm going to invite us right now to take a moment out, much like Kara did with the children, and name some of the things that we're thankful for. And I really mean this. This is actually a congregation participation part of the sermon. Sometimes we're a little hesitant. For what are you thankful? Just call it out. Health. Family. Music. Food. Children. Woohoo, go Hawks! We could really do this all day, couldn't we? If we really wanted to take a time, there are so many things. We could make a list a mile long, and that right there is something we are grateful for. From family and friends to health, from freedoms to financial stability, from rewarding work to a good education. And then there are those simple things, some of which we named as well. The taste of ice cream, a warm blanket on a cold night, the smile of a child, or a hug at just the right time, a favorite song coming on the radio, or a close parking spot when you're in a hurry. Truly, our list is long. And it is so important to stay in touch with gratitude. After all, the things that make us sad or frustrated or simply make us angry, they are also real, and they can feel overwhelming. In fact, I've heard that studies show that when anger and fear are evoked, the impact on the brain is more powerful than when we experience joy and gratitude. So as much as I wish this wasn't true, what it says to me again and again is that it is so important for us to be rooted in gratitude, that gratitude be the place, the position from which we live our lives. After all, if we root ourselves there, then it is more likely to be our response, even when things are hard. When I first moved to Joplin, Missouri, I lived in a duplex and shared a wall with an elderly woman named Billy. It was frequent that in my conversations with Billy, our conversation would turn to her husband, who had died in the year before I met her. She would talk about Bill, yes, it was Bill and Billy, the life they shared and the decades of marriage they celebrated. And inevitably in those conversations, a tear would slide down her cheek. And then Billy would start apologizing for crying. She would go on to say how she shouldn't really be sad. After all, they had so many good years together and she had so much to be thankful for. And I would remind her that that was exactly why she was crying. She was crying because he mattered and because life with him had been good. She was crying because she missed him, but mostly she was crying because she had rooted herself so deeply in gratitude that she knew what a wonderful gift she had received. I feel certain that it is no mistake that the book of Psalms is so full of gratitude. After all, if we remember that Psalms is the ancient worship book, the hymnal of the ancient people, then wouldn't we expect for gratitude to overflow? So I want us to hear one more time this psalm that Steve read for us and see what we can glean as we root ourselves more deeply in gratitude. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is a familiar psalm of thanksgiving, but what do you hear there? It seems there are several things that are worth noting. In that opening sentence, we hear, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." Just in those first few words, we hear so much. Make a joyful noise. In other words, this isn't to be kept to ourselves. Gratitude doesn't have to be a quiet and private thing, but is worth sharing. And that sentence ends, all the earth. In other words, it's not just about us. We aren't the only ones who are celebrating with gratitude. This is about all creation, and perhaps most important for us to remember, all people. Not just those who look like us or think like us or come from the same place as us, not just those from our own tribe or our own culture, but all people together with all of creation are called to make a joyful noise. And where does this joy and gratitude come from? It comes from God and from our rootedness in God. Verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Again, this is so important to remember. While we know when we are asked that the right answer is God is the creator and we are the created, we often more likely live as if we are self-made people, as if everything we have is because we pulled ourselves up by our proverbial bootstraps. And all too often we live as if God is created in our image, having even the same preferences and bigotries. But this psalm reminds us that God is the source of everything and everyone that exists, and that includes us. This text reminds us that our identity is about more than who we are as individuals. It is about whose we are as children of God. And when we really realize this, when we know it in our core, when we are rooted first in our identity as children of God, then we are likely to live in and from gratitude. And when we live in that place, then that circles us back to that first statement, the connectedness of all creation. Because when we remember our rootedness in God, we also remember our connectedness to each other. And this psalm of thanksgiving ends with a reminder of God's goodness. Because, friends, that's also at the heart of our gratitude. If you hear one new thing from this psalm, I hope it is this: God is good and faithful And God's love is enduring. Our God never wills harm for you. Our God never stops loving you. Our God never abandons you or turns away from you. Our God loves with the purest and truest love and wills and works good for you and for all creation. Yes, bad things happen, but they are not the intention or work of God. God does not rejoice in harming. God does not rejoice in punishing or casting out. That is not what God is about. Rather, in the midst of realities of bad things and bad choices, God is faithful and present and loving. God is the light who helps us find our way back. Is it any wonder that the psalmist writes, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." After all, when we truly come to know the nature of God, when we stop trying to make God compatible with our worst actions, when we stop trying to create God in our own image, when we allow God to be God and allow ourselves to truly receive God's love, then how can we enter into God's presence any way other than with praise and thanksgiving and sheer joy? As children, we learn to say thank you. But the gratitude, the thanksgiving our faith invites us to is something much larger than just two words. This is something much larger, much more real, much deeper. Are we grateful? Are we rooted in God so deeply that even in the face of pain, gratitude is real? Are we ready to live lives shaped by that gratitude? This week, we will observe Thanksgiving. We will eat too much. We will hopefully enjoy the company of family and friends. Many of us will fall asleep in front of a football game. But in the midst of all of that, what if we allowed ourselves to turn again toward God? What if we committed to live in such a way that not only do we know God's love, but we share it? What if we chose to live from a place of gratitude? What difference might that make? I want you to hear this psalm one more time, but this time from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into God's presence. Know this, God is God. And God, he made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty. All generous in love. Loyal, always, and ever. How could we not be grateful? Amen.